This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. Psalms 92. I've been preaching, why church? See, folks, we live in a culture that there's a certain group that would dismantle church. But I don't believe that. I believe, listen, you say, Pastor Benny, you think I need to be in church? I think you need to be in church more now than ever before. You say, what scripture verse do you have for that? Hebrews 10 and 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Look, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Folks, as we get to the end, you don't need less, you need more. I don't need less encouragement. I need more encouragement. You don't need less encouragement in this day. Ladies and gentlemen, you need more encouragement in this day. And we get that in the house of the Lord. Now let's read the verse. The righteous shall flourish. Get that word. Like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Look. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord. Get that. Planted in the house of the Lord. They're going to flourish in the courts of our God. You say, no, wait, Pastor Benny. I want my marriage to flourish. I want my ministry to flourish. I want my impact to flourish. I want my children to flourish. I want my career to flourish. Well, look here, folks. If you're going to flourish, you've got to get planted in the house of the Lord. Amen. You say, I want to flourish, but, well, you can, but it starts by getting planted, by getting some roots in the house of the Lord. Let us pray. Jesus, as we bow our heads and our hearts in your presence, I pray today that you would speak to us and through us. I pray today that you would give your word a free course to travel. And I pray for that man, woman, boy, or girl who does not know you, that today they're going to come to know you in the free pardon of sin. And Jesus, for all you do, we're just going to praise you. For I pray this prayer with a grateful heart. For I pray this prayer in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about you were made to worship. You were made to worship. The Bible says those that are planted, ladies and gentlemen, in the house of God, that they shall flourish. Now here's the question. What is the house of God? What is the house of God? The house of God is the dwelling place of God where we connect with His presence and His people so we can fulfill His purpose. 87% of people that go to church today, 87% say, I don't know what my purpose is for life. Time in the house of God will help you understand your purpose for life. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we were all hardwired for worship. We were all hardwired to worship something or somebody. That's why if it's a remote island, where people have never heard about God, they'll worship the sun, they'll worship the moon, they'll worship trees, because we were all hardwired for worship. That's why there's 600 million Buddhists in the world. That's why there's 800 million Hindus in the world. That's why there's 1.8 billion Muslims in the world. That's why there's 2.3 billion Christians in the world. Because you were hardwired to worship something or somebody. Here's what's amazing. You were made to worship God. You were made, ladies and gentlemen, to worship God. You say, I don't know why I was created. Well, I'm trying to help you. You were made to worship God. Look what Isaiah 43 verse 21 says. The people I formed for myself. Wait. Why did God create you? For himself. He created you for himself that you might proclaim his praise. You were hardwired to worship God. Now you said, Pastor Benny, worship's about God, but there's some benefits to us for worshiping, aren't they? Sure there are. Hey, this is not the message. This is not the message because I want to get to the message. On average, you'll live 6 years longer if you're just actively going to church. On average, you'll live 6 years longer if you just actively go to church. Get in God's house, your life's at stake, amen? Now look, what are the benefits to me, Pastor Benny, what are the benefits to me of worship? Number one, you please God when you worship. You please God when you worship. See, when you please God, it doesn't matter who you don't please, but if you don't please God, it doesn't matter who you do please. Yeah, you please God, ladies and gentlemen, when you worship. The Bible says in Matthew 4 and 10, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You please him, ladies and gentlemen, when you worship. A young man gets up one Sunday morning, he says, I don't want to go to church today. He tells his mother, I don't want to go. And she says, well, son, you need to go. He said, well, mama, give me three good reasons why I ought to go. And she said, I sure will. Number one, God wants you to go. Number two, I'm your mother and I want you to go. And number three, you're the pastor and you ought to go. Amen. You please God when you worship. Now look. God's presence comes when you worship. Folks, if there's something that we need the presence of God more than anything else. Friend, you need God's presence in your life. I need God's presence in my life. A moment of favor is worth more than 1,000 days of labor. Just his presence in your life. His presence will make all the difference in everything. His presence will open doors, ladies and gentlemen, that there is no way you can open on your own. But the presence of God, just the presence of God, it makes all the difference in our lives. It makes all the difference in our families. But now look, 2 Chronicles 5 says this. And it came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. When they, look, lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, what they say, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Wait. That then the house was filled with a cloud. Even the house of the Lord. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know something. He inhabits the praises of his people. There's a third reason why worship is so important to you. We understand life through worship. We understand life through worship. You say, Pastor Benny, there's so many things I don't understand. There's so many painful things. There's so many dark things. There's so many hurtful things in my life that I really don't understand. Well, let me give you some verses, folks, that are so good. They're found in Psalm 73. Verse 16 says, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. He said, I didn't understand. It didn't make sense. I didn't know why it happened. I had no explanation. I couldn't put my mind around it. But look what he said. Until I went to the sanctuary of God And when I went to the sanctuary of God, I understood. And it started making sense when I went to the sanctuary of God. I didn't understand what was happening in my life. I didn't understand why it was happening in my life. But when I went to the sanctuary of God, and I started hearing the word of God, and I started worshiping God, it somehow, it just all made sense to me. Let me tell you the fourth benefit of worship. Worship's our weapon in battle. Worship's our weapon in battle. Now, this is what I know about every person I'm speaking to, whether I'm speaking to you online, on the radio, here, you're in a battle. You say, let me tell you something. If you're not, look here. If we're not bumping into Satan, we're going the same direction, amen? So we're in a battle. We're kind of like the two city boys. Two city boys joined the Boy Scouts. And they didn't know anything about country life. They didn't know anything about rural life. And they went out on their first excursion. I mean, literally the first excursion. Two city boys. They was trying to put the tent up and mosquitoes was out. And the mosquitoes was biting those boys. And I mean, they was trying to get the tent put up. But they were just city boys. They didn't know much about country life. And it was getting dark. And about that time, the lightning bugs started coming out. And one city boy said to the other city boy, "Hurry up, we got to get it put up. They're coming at us now with flashlights." Amen? They're coming at us with flashlights. Well, you know, there was a man in the Bible. He was the leader of Judah. His name was Jehoshaphat. He must have felt like they were coming at him with flashlights. I mean, he got a report that three major armies were coming at him. And he said, "I don't know what to do." But he went to the man of God. And the man of God gave him some great advice. He said, "Jehoshaphat, I want you to understand something. This battle's not yours. This battle is the Lord's. I want you to understand something today. The battle you're in right now, it's a spiritual battle. The battle you're in right now, it's a spiritual battle. And you won't win that battle with flesh and blood. You'll win that battle through the spiritual battle. You'll win that battle because it's a spiritual battle. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places." He said, "You're not, look here, folks. I want you to understand something. We're in a battle down here, but the victory's won up there. We're in a battle down here, but the victory's won up there." You remember when Moses was on that mountainside and Aaron and Hur were holding those hands up? They were holding those hands up. That was symbolic of praying and praising. And as long as they were praying and praising, they was winning the battle down there. Oh, you hear me today? The battle's fought down here, but the battle's won up there. The battle's fought down here, but the battle's won up there. "Jehoshaphat, I've got a strategy." Jehoshaphat said, "Give me the strategy." He said, "This is the strategy." And when he had consulted with the people, now wait, Jehoshaphat, I mean, he's Norman Schwarzkopf. He's Storm and Norman. He said, "I need a strategy." Most of you don't even know who Storm and Norman is. Anyway, Look, I need a strategy. And this is the strategy. He appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the Lord with the beauty of holiness. And as they went before the army to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Wait, we're in a battle? And Jehoshaphat said, "How are we going to handle it?" God said, "I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to put the worshipers up front. You're going to put the worshipers up front. You're going to put those that know how to worship God. You're going to put those that know how to worship God. Now, you got the army behind, but here's what you're going to do. You're going to start the battle out just by singing and praising God. You're going to start the battle out just by singing." Oh, folks, I'm preaching better and you're responding. You're going to start the battle out just by singing and praising God. And look what happened. And they began to sing and to praise the Lord, and the Lord sent ambushments. You said, Pastor Benny, what happened? Those three massive armies, instead of turning on Judah, they turned and destroyed one another. How did they win the battle? In the middle of pain, they praised the Lord. In the middle of pain, they praised the Lord. Now get this. So Pastor Benny, worship is expressing our love to God. That's exactly right. You see, it's really not complicated. You say, Pastor, I don't know that I understand worship. Well, I'm going to help you. It's expressing your love to God. Adrian Rogers said, simplify, simplify, simplify. And he said, when you get through preaching, the people will say, he's profound. I want to simplify. What is worship? It's just expressing your love to God. Amen. That's why the Bible says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That's what Matthew 22 says. But see, we want to make sure, folks, we want to make sure we're not Isaiah 29:13, where the people worship me with their mouths and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is based on nothing but human rules. I was thinking the other day, I wish we was excited about worshiping God, especially in the South, as we are football. Now let me explain. Now let me get clarity. I like football myself, especially this year. But listen, I wish we could be as excited about God and the things of God. This just started rolling through my mind. You said, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, think about this. At the football game, we arrive early and stay late. Come on, Ethel, we don't want to miss kickoff. And if it goes into overtime, oh, there's no way we can leave. It's overtime now. But the preacher preaches a little long. Come on, folks. But when it's the football game, we're willing to arrive early. Oh, we're willing to stay late. If that was, that's what it means. Yes, we're going to get there early and we're going to stay to the end of it, Ethel. When it's a football game, we're willing to endure the weather. Amen. I mean, the Green Bay Packers season tickets, they've had a waiting list since 1978. But when it comes to football, oh, baby, we're willing to endure the weather. But what about church tomorrow? Well, I hear it's supposed to rain. I don't know that we need to get out in that, honey. I think we'll just stay and watch him on the TV tomorrow. I don't know. We need to get out in that. We can get a cold. Yeah, I'm just where we're living. Amen? Now, we want to arrive early. We're willing to stay late. We're willing to endure the weather. Well, it's the football game. I want to get the best seats possible. It's the football game. I'll tell you what, I'm not going to miss a Georgia game. But what about service tomorrow? I don't know. I don't know if we're going to make it or not. I've not been feeling real well. When it's football, ladies and gentlemen, we memorize the stats. Well, we got guys who know how much a recruit weighs, that the school is recruiting. Well, he weighs 237 pounds. Well, his passing, he's just a 48% passer. What? That? Did you hear about that running back? He gets 6 yards a carry. But you can't quote three scriptures, Vern. You've memorized all the stats, but you don't know two Bible verses if your life depended on it. Oh. Is there anybody I hadn't offended? And then there's, well, the tickets, we got to get the tickets. Oh, I know the tickets have gone up, but I want them tickets. Well, now they say you got to give so much to the university if you get season tickets. Helen, I want them tickets. I don't care what it costs. If we have to partner with somebody, we'll do whatever. If they've gone up, they've gone up. I know they're going to increase every year, but I'm going to pay for the tickets. I don't know that I'm going back to church. All he talks about is money. I just wish we'd get excited about Jesus as we are football. We go to the ball game on Saturday. Had like a wild ending, which is fine. It's fine. But Sunday, bless me if you can. That wild ending just became a wooden ending, amen? Now wait, I gotta hurry. If worship is expressing our love to God, and that's all it is, ladies and gentlemen. Worship is you expressing your love to God. You understand something? It's just you expressing your love to God. Get that, don't complicate it. It's expressing your love to God. Then Pastor Benny, when I come, how can I worship God? I want to worship God. Let me give you some things you can do to worship God. Number one, by listening to, learning, and living out God's word. By listening to, learning, and living out God's word. Get this. Acts 17 and 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. John 13 and 17 says this, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Folks, why for 33 years, can I tell you something? Why for 33 years have I been doing that? Why do you do that, Pastor? Why do you take time to do this every week? You mean if you're out of state, you call back no matter where I'm at? Not only if I'm out of state, if I'm out of the country, I call back. And I get online and I talk to them about my sermon outline. Why do you do, it for you? Well, I don't know how it would help me. I do it because of the Air Force. What do you mean, the Air Force? The Air Force tells us that 95% of everything you hear, in 72 hours, you will forget. 95%, Lord, come up close. 95% of everything that you hear, in 72 hours, you will forget. Writing it down is equivalent to reading it 11 times. You say, help me, Pastor. I'm trying to help you. This is it. A short pencil is better than a long memory. I want to love God. I want to express my love. I want to worship Him. You listen, learn, and live out God's word. Let me tell you the second way that you worship God. By singing to Him. Get this. By singing to Him. Psalms 95 and 1 says, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. What? Pastor Benny, I'm going to make this statement. If you're complaining, you're not worshiping. If you're complaining, you're not worshiping. But you don't understand, I can't sing. No. Listen, folks. Listen. I can't sing that song. Well, it's not the song that I like. I ought to be singing unto him anyway. Now look, I want you to know this. I am a prison singer. You said prison singer. Yes. I'm behind a few bars and I can't find the right key. Maybe you're a prison singer also, but it really doesn't matter because see, I'm not singing to them, I'm singing to him. I'm not singing to them. You said, Pastor Benny, your mic's not on when we're singing. I don't care. I'm not singing to you anyway. I'm singing to him. Amen? So, Pastor Benny, how can I worship? How can I express my love to God? I'll tell you why. You can express your worship. You can express your love to God by singing to him. Look here. There's a third way you can do it. By talking to God together in prayer. By talking to God together in prayer. See, coming together is so important. I heard about a man that was stranded. He was on a deserted island. He was stranded all by himself there. He was there for 25 years. And finally a man came to rescue him. And as they was leaving, he said, "What is that hut right over there?" He said, "That's my house." He said, "That's neat." He said, "What is that hut right over there?" He said, "That's my church." He said, "That's neat." He said, "What is that hut right over there?" He said, "That's the church that I used to go to." Apparently that guy couldn't get along with himself, amen? But ladies and gentlemen, when we come together and we pray, the scripture tells us this in Romans chapter 1 verse 12, when we pray, your faith builds my faith. You say, you mean our prayer should be together? Oh, yes. I believe when somebody's praying, I believe even right now, folks, while I'm preaching, I believe you ought to be praying and saying, "Oh, God, work during the invitation. Oh, God, deal with people that's here lost." I believe we ought to, see, when we come to, you see, the Bible teaches we're to come together and pray. Well, look what it says. We go back. These all continued with one accord in prayer. They prayed together. Let me tell you a fourth way we express our worship to God. By giving back to him. By giving back to him. Now get this. I'm not going to camp here long. But the Bible says in Malachi 3:10, bring all your tithes into the storehouse. So wait. We're supposed to bring our tithes to the church? Well, that's what it says. That there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now, here where saith the Lord of hosts, if I won't open the windows of heaven, I'll pour you out a blessing that there won't be room enough to receive it. You said, "Wait, Pastor, I think I'm going to give him 2%. Well, he don't do windows for 2%. But he'll pour us out a blessing, folks. Look here. In just a moment, I'm going to be at that door. And when I walk back at that door, I'm going to take my tithe. And I'm going to put it in the bag. And can I, you say, Pastor, why do you do that? Because that's worshiping God. Look here, folks. I don't have a lot of confidence. Wait, and I'll move to the last point. I don't have a lot of confidence in a hand that will do this, that won't do this. Now, I don't have a lot of confidence in a hand that wants to reach up, but it won't reach back. Is there anybody I hadn't offended? Let me know. Because here's what I know. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And if you love, you want to give. Let me tell you something. I have a red-headed daughter, Savannah Abigail. And many times she drains me. Why? Because I love her deeply. And that's why she's so into my finances. Number five. By sharing the Lord's Supper together. By sharing the Lord's Supper together. And I'm not going to camp here long on this point. But I do want you to see one verse. 1 Corinthians 11:33. It says, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together. Somebody said, church don't matter. I think it does matter. It says we're to come together and share the Lord's Supper. Somebody said, church don't matter. Well, apparently it does matter. It says we're to come together and share the Lord's Supper. Let me tell you the sixth way we can express our love to God. It's by being baptized. That's why we do it regular. That's why we're doing it October 30th. Because it's a way you worship God. It's a way you express your love to Him. One little girl said to me, Pastor, the next time you're up there, I want to be advertised. I said, okay, we'll get you advertised. She didn't know, but she was right. When you get baptized, you're advertising and saying, I want everybody to know that I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. One little girl went to her very first baptismal service. She'd never been before, and the pastor baptized, and she got home and got in her bathtub. And she got her Barbie doll. And her mother walked by, and she heard her say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and in the hole you go. Well, when Jesus got baptized, according to the Bible, it pleased God. And it pleases God when you get baptized. Let me tell you the seventh way we worship God. By recommitting our lives to Him. You know why church is so wonderful, folks? Romans 12:1 says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. A living sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice on an altar, but wait. A living sacrifice on an altar. And this is all I know about a living sacrifice on an altar. It can crawl off the altar. A dead one can't, but a living sacrifice can crawl off the altar. And folks, there's been many times in my life when I crawled off the altar. Sometimes it was over something I did. Sometimes it was over something I didn't do. But I got to be honest with you, I crawled off the altar. But what makes church so wonderful, ladies and gentlemen, we can recommit our lives to the Lord. We can get back on the altar. A pastor said one time, he said, we had lost sight, preacher, of what worship was really all about. He said, we lost sight of it. So he said, I said, we won't be needing the sound system. We won't be needing the musicians. We won't be needing any lights. We won't need any smoke. He said, we're going to do away with all that. And he said, folks, I want you to bring your worship with you. Because I want you to understand what worship is really all about. It's just about expressing our love to Jesus. And a young man was in his congregation during that time. And that young man wrote a song. This was the song. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, for it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. Because it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. It's all about Jesus.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.